This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having us today. We are excited for a new legislative session. We were able to hear the State of the State address this week, and the Senate has some great thoughts and ideas of how we can work with the governor and how we can also get our own agenda going as well. So thanks for having us, and we look forward to some great discussion.
Well, good morning, everyone. Representative Lee Quam, House Majority Leader. Thank you for having us. It's been a week of getting some of the peripheral things done and getting bills put in motion. Heard an awesome address from the governor and from the judiciary and from tribes, and so we're ready to get started now going into next week.
Jim Bolin, Assistant Majority Leader of the Senate from Canton. I would agree with both the comments of Majority Leader Quam and Majority Leader Langer. This has been kind of the first week of the legislature is kind of a ceremonial week where you listen to the governor, the Chief Justice, and the one of the leaders of the tribes in South Dakota. Bills are being dropped. There's going to be a lot of activity coming next week as we come back after a very brief short time at home. But we're starting a new administration, and it's going to be a very interesting session.
My name is Representative Arch Beal. I'm the Assistant Majority Leader. I've been learning a lot this week myself. Along with the comments made by the others about the new administration and trying to find out what's going on now, the main thing I've got going on right now is just trying to learn. And thank you for inviting me here.
Have you all met as caucuses to talk about priorities for the session? Can you talk a little bit about that if it's happened?
Sure. Yes, we have met every day as a caucus and have started to discuss our priorities. Our appropriators have given us updates every day as far as the things that they've been working on, the agencies that they've been with, and have the Senate looking at their priorities for the session. And everyone's anxious to see what the governor's budget will look like and how that will change things as well. But I know our appropriators are working very hard.
We have met every day as a caucus, and I think we're kind of waiting to see what some of the governor's priorities are. We have some of our own, obviously. We want to see if they mesh, you know, where we're at, how we come out on those. So there's a little bit of a wait and see going forward, but yeah, there's some things that we're talking about.
Can you offer any specifics on that?
Next week.
And I'd just add a little bit. I think informally, many of the legislators have perhaps are interested in the topic, one of the topics that the governor has mentioned a number of times in her campaign and in her State of the State address, which is civics education. And I think that will be a priority for a number of legislators in both political parties, in both chambers during this session. I'll just leave it at that for right now.
The other thing that the Senate caucus has discussed a lot and is important is our nursing homes and our Medicaid providers, community support providers. We know that there's a huge need, and we are at a crisis point with our nursing homes, for sure, as a number one priority.
Continuing on the caucus theme, could you give me kind of an idea of what the mood is within the caucus, how things are shaking out? I know you have a number of new members. Just kind of give me a wrap-up of the tone and tempo inside caucus this first week.
I would say as far as the Senate goes, we're ready to hit the ground running. We truly only have three completely new members. We have some that have come over from the House. So the three of them are being mentored very well by some of the more seasoned senators within the caucus. Lots of excitement and lots of good positive feedback about the new administration and how we can go forward and how we can get our Senate priorities met as well as working with the governor.
I would say the mood is probably pretty excited. New administration, new priorities, new ideas. It just seems very upbeat right now, and really looking forward to working with the governor and moving forward. We've got quite a few new people that have never been here before, so obviously there's some learning curve going on. But, you make friends pretty quickly when you're with them every day, and so it's working very good. And there's some great mentoring going on with everybody, and so it's a very positive feeling right now.
Can you talk about when do you expect to hear a budget address from the governor, and what would you like to see in it?
I don't know that we've been given an exact date. I look for it in the next couple weeks that she will be presenting that to us. I think the appropriators have been working with staff as well and have some ideas, but it shouldn't be too much longer.
I would agree with that. We don't have an exact time. I know she's working very hard with all the agencies. And I think, the question was asked, are the appropriators able to do their job without knowing what her, what her budget looks like? And I think a lot of the agencies have preliminary numbers that they're working off of. That's not the exact, but as they meet with appropriators, that's what they're saying. This is kind of the preliminary where they are. So I think they've got a pretty good idea going forward. Yeah, there'll probably be some changes, but I don't think there'll be anything drastic from what they're getting right now.
Getting back to the civics idea of the governor. It seems to me that legislators talk in hushed tones about local control until they want to be in control. As you seem to be pretty excited about this civics idea, what's your idea philosophically about local control of a school board?
Well, I think the governor's made this one of her priorities. Local school boards are very, very important. At the same time, the state has particular standards for what's taught. We've had the requirement of American history in every school in South Dakota for probably since the beginning of statehood. I don't know. So, there's a balance between local control and you might say the authority of the State Board of Educational Standards, which sets the standards for all of the classes and curriculum that are in the community. So the local school board, again, is very important, but they do not necessarily, for as long as I can remember, and I've been in South Dakota for almost 40 years now, they've never really had the ultimate authority to say, well, we will teach this class, but we won't ultimately teach this. There's always a lot of situations where electives are there. So I think the emphasis to the desire to put more emphasis on civic education is something that is just needed, because I think we have perhaps a lack of real understanding how government works for many high school students. And we've had a great emphasis over the last 20 years on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. I think perhaps we have moved a little bit away from the civics, government, those type of things, the emphasis there. So I think it's, there needs to be a little bit of rebalancing perhaps, and we'll go from there.
I think Senator Nelson's polling place attire bill is coming up maybe on Monday or Tuesday in the Senate. Have your caucuses talked about that bill? Where you all stand on it?
I'll answer that question. Yes, it's coming up in Senate State Affairs on Monday. That committee meets at 10 o'clock. The caucus itself has not discussed that bill. I think there'll be a lot of questions asked on that bill. I wouldn't prejudge it, but there will be a number of individuals who have some questions about its impact on the polling places and how this will all shake out. So I think that, does that answer your question, Mr. Nord? So no formal position, no discussion as of yet, and I think there will be numerous questions asked about the bill.
A lot of new people in the legislature this year. How do you feel about two-year terms? Would you rather have four-year terms?
I would agree. When you have two-year terms, you run constantly. I feel you lose some continuity. About the time you get, the first year is a lot of figuring out who your allies are, who you can work with, how you do things. The second year you get some things done, then you start all over again. Senator Rush is I'm talking about bringing something to extend them out to 4 years, and I'm in favor of that. I think it would give the legislature more power. Everybody's concerned about term limits. Well, it didn't take me very long to figure out when I got here the first time that term limits, the way they are, really put us at a disadvantage with the executive branch because we lose so much institutional knowledge, especially in the appropriations department. That is key to really making some things happen. I think 4 years you would have a stronger legislature. And just natural attrition. You know, there's people that get in for 2 years and, man, that's not what I thought it was going to be, so they don't run again. So I think, you know, maybe it would discourage some people from running as well. I mean, that's another option I guess we'd have to think about. But, yeah, there's always changes, and I think 4 years would be a good change.
Well, I would respectfully and very respectfully disagree with Mr. Quam. I'm probably in favor of continuing two-year terms. I think it's good when you have a citizen legislature that the voters can, every 2 years, either renew the contract or put somebody else in place. I understand the desire for maybe a little longer terms, but I think it's the greater priority is to make sure that the citizenry can remove a person or to endorse a person every 2 years. So it keeps us very much intact with the public. So you can see a little diversity of thought here amongst the Republican leaders on this particular subject.
So do you differ too on term limits, then? Would you like to see longer terms? I mean, be able to serve past where you're cut off now?
Well, in actuality, South Dakota doesn't have term limits. We have chamber limits. Technically, you can serve indefinitely in the South Dakota legislature as long as you keep switching back from House to Senate. My personal view on that, this isn't any caucus position or anything, my personal view is that we should have 12-year term limits in one chamber, and then you should be forced out for at least 2 years, and then you want to come back. But I'm not going to push that issue. That's just my own personal view. I think, generally speaking, term limits are reasonable, but they were made just a little bit too short in South Dakota.
Well, I agree with the senator on 12 years. I think that would be better. I think 8 is too short. I'm in my fourth term. I'm still learning stuff all the time. And 8 years, you start feeling comfortable with what you're doing. You force people into leadership a lot quicker because they have to. It's the nature of the beast. You have to do it. And I think sometimes we lose some of that. But with the 12 years said, I would say, okay, 12 years, that's it. You can't switch. 12 years is enough. You pick your House or your Senate. That's in an ideal world. That's where I would go. So there we have some more. Agree on the on the years, but not the switching.
And I think it's safe to say, just make sure the public, this is not going to be a legislative priority for me or anything like that. We're just answering a question here. So that's, I'm not bringing a bill on that subject in this term.
Leader Quam, can you talk about when your capital carry bill will get dropped?
It will probably get dropped next week.
Have you had discussions with anyone? Do you think that it has a good chance of passage?
I've had some limited discussion. I think it's got a good chance, yeah.
And what about for everyone, permitless concealed carry bills? I see two right now. Is there one that maybe there's more emphasis on? And is that a priority for either chamber?
You mean the constitutional carry? Well, I would hope that mine would have preferential treatment, but I doubt that.
Sorry, I mean just generally speaking as a separate bill.
You mean the difference between the two, or I don't know that I got the question exactly.
Sorry, there are separately constitutional carry bills proposed.
Yes.
What are the caucus positions on those bills?
At this point, there isn't any. Okay. We haven't discussed it at all yet.
The same in the Senate. We have not discussed that yet. There's no Senate caucus position.
Leader Qualm, as you intend your bill to drop, when would that become effective if it makes it all the way through and is signed by the governor?
It would be July.
Will you carry?
Yes.
Have you heard any discussions with the new farm bill about industrial hemp coming back and whether that has a better chance than in previous legislatures?
I've supported industrial hemp the last 2 years, been signed on the bill and very supportive of it. And since it came through in the ag bill, you know, I think they're going to see more emphasis on it. I visited with Secretary Vanneman about it the other day, you know, wondering what their position was going to be. They're supportive, but there also has to be some rules written on the federal level before we can really get into doing a whole lot with it. So I think it might be a wait and see what kind of rules they come up with. We don't need to jump the gun. I'm very supportive. I think we need to do it. I think it could be great for South Dakota. But with that said, if the federal government is going to write some rules, there's no sense in us going out and doing something until we know what those rules are going to be. So we're in those parameters rather than having to go and do something different. So it'll be an ongoing discussion. I heard that there's going to be a bill coming for that, I think. And I don't know who's bringing it. I just heard that there's going to be one. So we'll see what it says, and, you know, maybe we'll have some more knowledge by the time that gets through. So I'll just take a wait and see what the bill says and what the federal government does. But I think could be something very good for South Dakota.
Has there been any discussion about the challenges to the District 27 lawmakers? Is anything coming on that?
I'll just say we've had numerous discussions as far as leadership goes between both both parties. Had very extensive conversations, I guess. As far as the Senate caucus goes, we are satisfied with the information that we've gotten and plan to continue to let the senator serve.
We had numerous, when it first became aware of it, a lot of discussions between House and Senate leadership on conference calls and texting back and forth, talking about different issues. And then it just broke off to where, well, we're separate chambers. We need to do our own thing. And so they worked on their own. We worked on our own. And we've worked very hard to get the information. And right now, with current information we have, we believe there's no reason that she would be unseated. I mean,